let's get to it. Start the, see how we just start the music early. As y'all following, make sure you hit that like button. Make sure you hit that like button. We going early today. We going early today. I know y'all used to seeing that nighttime at 8, something like that. We might come back later, but I had to get this out early today. It's been a long time coming. A lot of dates that didn't get fulfilled. But we here regardless. We here now. You know what I'm saying? Not take the blame for all of that. But we here. It's going to be a goodie today. So make sure you hit that like button. Make sure you subscribe. If you're not a subscriber, make sure you subscribe today. Make sure you hit that bell to get all notifications when we go live. See, y'all hit the bell so y'all know as soon as we live, y'all on. If you want to get those in the future like everybody else, you got to hit that bell and personalize your notifications. So without any further ado, I present myself. I'm Doggy Diamonds, and I don't have a haircut, so don't laugh at my face. I don't have a haircut, but I don't care. I got some events to go to this weekend, so it don't make no sense to get no haircut early, and then you need another haircut because your hair grow like that. But I'm Doggy Diamonds. This is Doggy Diamonds TV. This is Doggy Diamonds No Filter. You know what I do here. I took a couple of days off to get centered, relax a little bit, get a little bit of sleepy sleep. But I'm here, and I got a guest with me today. Introduce yourself to the people.
What's up, people? Stack Stone is in the building. How y'all doing?
Stack Stone, but where do they definitely see you at? Where do they definitely know you from?
Yo, mostly YouTube, you know what I'm saying? Like 3 or 4 years ago, I think I popped off on YouTube, went viral, and then that's it started from there, probably 3 or 4 years ago.
So I've known you. We bump into each other in Brooklyn, in the streets of Brooklyn, Fulton Street, you know what I'm saying? One of the most busiest streets in the town, you know what I'm saying? We walking up and down Fulton Street. And I had saw you, but we never properly met each other. So we met that day and stayed in tune ever since. Since then, you did a big interview with Queens Flip to where I guess the masses got to know you on a different level. Because I seen you was on Rec Channel a couple of times. You were talking about the business. But when you was on the Queens Flip, you was talking about some of your past endeavors, affiliations, and all that. What was the difference between talking about the music industry and then talking about your street life?
Yeah, it was major differences. Like, the street life was like, it was like something I was trying to get away from. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I couldn't escape it and acknowledge who I was in history. And I was trying to monetize off of it, like book-wise, mm-hmm. and film-wise, you know what I'm saying? Because mm-hmm. I had talked to some of my brothers that was on Queens Flip with me, and I discussed with them about what the powers could be if we came out with the Blood Chronicles, you know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. I said, it's 5 of us. I said, I gave them the blueprint and the format, and then it just folded after that. But the biggest difference, I was trying to merge the music, and a lot of the times what I've discovered with a lot of them, the music people, they really don't want to deal with that street type of element and gangs and all that. And I don't blame them. You know what I'm saying? So I had to separate the two.
So at what point did you come to this revelation that, okay, my past is my past, my prison time is my prison time, the streets is the streets, but I'm on some grown man shit. When did that hit you?
I mean, I've been on some grown man shit when I came home in 2006. I mean, I hit the ground running. I didn't stop. As soon as I came home, the first 2 weeks, I had 2 jobs. Mm. I was working as a personal trainer in New York Sports Club, and I was working in Macy's at nighttime. So I used to go work out and train people in New York Sports Club in Park Slope and then shoot right over to Macy's and be a salesperson over there. So I never stopped working since I hit the ground running in 2006. January 20th. So I never really went back to the streets. Now, do I have people that I know from the streets? Yeah. Am I affiliated? Yeah, but I'm not banging. You know what I'm saying? I always try to teach people on a higher level. After what I came from, I wanted peace. Like Kevin Gates said. Kevin Gates was like, I came from great. You know what I'm saying? All that. But I want great peace now. I came from great, like everything, trauma. So I want peace. I wanted peace. So that's the transition for me. I wanted to be peaceful, but I know, you know, those two don't really mix. You know what I'm saying? You got to really be disciplined in what you believe in and not fall victim so people could trick you out your spot. And then you be back in jail on a homie or some crazy nonsense, a gun. And I don't need that, bro. I don't need that in my life. So, you know.
So, for the people who don't know, what's the difference between a gang member and a gang banger? Or are they one and the same?
Nah, it's a difference. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could be a member, but you don't have to be banging. You know what I'm saying? You could be a member of something, but you don't have to be in the streets like that. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people that are members, and they get money. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like Cardi B let people know she's a member of Hats. Mm-hmm. Shout out to all the Hats out there. But she get money. Mm-hmm. She let people know she affiliated. And she's not shunning away from her affiliation. You know what I'm saying? But she is out the streets. You can't find her gangbanging. You know what I'm saying? She gangbanging, getting money or whatever, taking care of her family. That's another form of gangbanging. People just don't realize. They think that gangbanging just involves guns and killing people. No, it involves, it's levels to it. And that's what was taught to us. It's education. There's community, all that. Because we had the Black Panther model. You know what I'm saying? We used to serve breakfast, give back. You know, the kids is going back to school now. Get involved like that. Mm-hmm. Start a fundraiser for the kids that's going back to school. You know what I'm saying? They need school supplies. So try to do something in that form. That's a form of gangbang.
When you first, I guess the slang is, got brought home. That's the slang, right? If I'm not. I never understood what that means. Brought you home. What is home? Like, I never really, it ain't my politic, but yo, I brought him home. Like, what the hell is home?
Yo, I mean, shout out to like the brothers that started the lingo, like early on, like brothers, like it was a lot of people writing lingo. Bringing you home means bringing you to where the home base is. And they consider that to be the biz. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. This is home. I mean, this, we revolutionary minded. And this is where you need to be because we're taking care of our own. So that's how that came about. When shout out to Mandu and Pimp, they was the early like missive writers or the people that was writing a lot of that lingo while we was in the box. So I mean, that's what it don't really have no real major significance other than lingo. Yo, bring you home.
Yeah. You know. So you did this legendary Queens Flip interview, which garnered a lot of views, and I felt like took his channel in a different direction because he was interviewing rappers. But then once he interviewed y'all, shit went out of control because then there was a lot of brothers that was like, that ain't the truth. I want to come tell my truth. What was the pros and cons of that, bro?
Pros and cons of that was this, bro. That was the first opportunity for the world, or primarily the East Coast, to see the faces that was connected to the names. Mm-hmm. Cause before that, there was only the names. There was no facial recognition, right? So that is one point. The second point was, at that time, I was called up there on the premise of just an interview to talk about history. I didn't know it was going to take a spin and go towards Soul B, my brother. Shout out to Soul B. You know what I'm saying? So when that, if you could see the interview, I'm telling CK, listen, bro, nah, bro, we brothers. That's your brother. Soul B is your OG, like before blood. Soul B is his OG. He brought CK out the house. CK will tell you that. Mm-hmm. So I'm in his ear, but you on the handy. So I'm like, nah. And then you got this other dude, KK, throwing fuel to the shit like, yo, nah, let that nigga talk. Because he got a problem with what Soul B said. I didn't have a problem with Soul B said because what Soul B said was the truth from his perspective. Soul B was a G before blood came. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Everybody knows Stacy from Flatbush. That's him. You know what I'm saying? He was a G before Bloods. So his perspective was like, I'm the big homie, all the big homies, because I've been banging before this blood shit. Mm. I've been banging 84 when we were spitting razors out the mouth. 84. That's 10 years before blood started. So you got to think he was already trained as an OG. Mm-hmm. He was trained from HDM, the early Raggers Island, when the niggas was real going crazy. Mm-hmm. But it is what it is. So that took a turn for the worst, primarily because dudes was drinking. Mm-hmm. So I'm sober. I'm the only sober one in. So everything else trickled down. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. I try to stop it, but all the fabrication, the lies about the fights, that shit was cat. Like, all that shit was cat. Nobody put hands on me. It was none of that. Did I get close to fighting CK? Yeah, but he was drunk. I'm not going to fuck a drunk dude up. You know what I'm saying? And at that time, I kind of understood where he was coming from. Like, I understand it's hurt, but that wasn't the place for that shit. You know what I'm saying?
Got you. Shout out to CK, who, good dude. You know what I'm saying? Got a chance to meet him and really chop it with him.
Yeah, shout out to CK, man.
And y'all good now, though, right? Like, everything is... Y'all been peaced up.
We good now. We on good terms, you know what I'm saying? I ain't got no beef with nobody. I ain't come here to address nothing like that.
Yeah. We just talking about the history of what happened. So that day, it was five of y'all brothers, right? It was CK, Wildcat, Killer Kev, yourself, and Mel Cross. Did you know any of them prior to that day?
Only one I didn't know was Wildcat. Everybody else I knew. Mm-hmm. I knew CK. I knew KK. I knew Mel Cross. Me and Mel Cross, we was on a couple of buses together leaving boxes. So we used to always talk. Mm. CK's from Flatbush. So I know about his brother, him, everything before this blood shit. Mm. And KK's from Brownsville. Mm-hmm. So I know about KK when we was in Brownsville, when he was boxing. I know about Killer Kev when he had war with Born Son. Mm. When Born Son ran him out of there. So, you know what I'm saying? I know him from back then, before he was Killer Kev.
Got you. And then unfortunately, from what I'm hearing, Wildcat is currently incarcerated. Did y'all stay in contact after that? Because I thought y'all was coming together to put the play together. This the Blood Chronicles. You got Mel Cross, who's from a whole different, and he's not UBN, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Nah, they ain't UBN. Like,
and you're not UBN either, right? But then you had members.
We left that shit in 2001. I was stoned. So you know, Brims and Stones, we broke out. We first to left, and then the Brims followed us, and then that was it. We left that shit.
Got you. Do you know the current state? Because I ain't seen Killer Kevin in a while either. Do you know what's going on with him, or are we just gonna?
What's up with that dude?
Okay.
Nah, I don't know. He just disappeared. I think he's in prison. Like, okay. I think that's where he at. But
okay. Yeah, wherever you at, you know what I'm saying? You know, hold your head. He was hilarious to me. So you knew Killer Kev prior to going there, right? Because y'all argued on IG one day, funny as hell.
Yeah, yo. Yeah, he did some fish market shit. That's all I can say. You know what I'm saying?
That's the most Brooklyn term.
Yeah, some fish market shit. That's all I can say. Like,
yeah.
It was some clout shit because he was actually lying about a lot of shit. Like, okay. His videos, he was lying. Talking about he brought me home. Like, that nigga didn't bring me home. You bugging? Why would you say that, bro? Like I only seen you one time in Jeff. That was in Windy. And I gave you a loony in the mess hall, nigga. Me and Robo Just.
Gave him a what?
Fucking mess hall. I gave him a loony of weed.
Oh, shit. You got me. I'm like, what the fuck, loony? Yeah,
I'm
you
in
got
the mess hall. I'm in Wendy's and shit. He come through and I see him. Yo, KK, what up? I gave a nigga loony of weed. Me and Robo Just. That was the last time I seen him. And then he went to a medium or some shit. Then he went home.
Got you.
So he wasn't really like banging in there with us. He probably was banging on Rikers Island, but not in the state prisons. We was all in a box. That nigga went home from a medium, bro.
So everybody went back to Queens Flip and did a solo interview. How come you didn't do a solo interview after that?
I went back to work, man. My job, I was in jeopardy with my job. That shit went all over. So that shit got to my kids. Mm. That shit got to people on my job. I was coming to work. They was like, yo, you stack stone. I'm like, yo. So I kind of chose my profession over the internet, which I should have been like, fuck that. I'm gonna go full fledged into the internet because that's paying more money right now. But I chose to help like the less fortunate, you know, because I went to school, got my degree, and I started becoming a person that worked in social services. I started giving back for 15 years now, you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
So I kind of chose my career. But that don't seem like it's panning out right now. I'm getting back into entertainment with the film and the music. That's what I'm into right now, film and music, because that's what I'm into. The gangbanging shit, fuck all that shit, nigga. I'm not into that, bro. If you into that, get off my frequency. Don't call my phone. I don't want no Ricos, nothing, bro.
But you are still stoked.
I'm always going to be that, bro. I'm always going to be
that. Because I don't understand. How do you... So, is it a thing where you just don't hang with the homies no more? Or, like, how does that work?
No. All right. So, I elevated myself. So, boom. I'm always going to be this entity of power, of force, of stone. Because you're looking at kinetic stones. I believe in kinetic stones, and stones got power, bro. Mm-hmm. So, I'm always going to relate myself to that stone. Mm. I stand firm. I'm the rock of Gibraltar. I got a lot of morals with myself, and I got integrity. You're never going to see me fall or switch up on you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to keep it cordial all the time. And I'm not going to be the type of person that engage with the internet, bro. That's just not my personality. Mm-hmm. So if you want to get on the internet and you want to gain momentum by beefing and controversy, that ain't going to be me. Now, what I give you raw, I give you some raw content, but it's not going to be to a level of, I need to feel like I got to do something to somebody. You know what I'm saying? It's just not what it is right now.
But at one particular point, you did have an issue with Casanova. What was that issue?
Yo, I really didn't have an issue with Cass, man. Yo, I like Cass, mm-hmm. right? I'm going to tell you, when I met Cass, it was at an event, and it was at Milk River, bro.
Right up the block from me. Right up the block from me. Y'all ain't tell me, but that's cool, though.
So I get to Milk River. Everybody's there. That's somebody from Brooklyn, underground, from underground to the top niggas from Brooklyn. It was Uncle Murda. It was Casanova. It was Mano. It was Handsome Baller from Flatbush. Mm-hmm. It was a few other dudes that I know that it was Brooklyn United, right? And I think that lady from Hot 97, Lisa Salters, one of them did.
Lisa
right?
Evers? Lisa Evers.
Okay. One of them. Mm-hmm. Lisa Evers. Like, so we get there. So this is before Cass popped. Mm-hmm. But his underground shit was popping, right? He wasn't signed to Rock yet. But his buzz was there. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, I'm fucking with the nigga, yo. I'm fucking with the music. I'm fucking with his swag. He Brooklyn. He cocky. He arrogant. He fit. He shaped up. Like he just came from up north. I'm fucking with that nigga, right? Boom. We bobbing, me, Mano, Uncle Murda, we all in the cypher. At the end of the event, we exchange numbers. I've been new Mano. So I get this nigga number. So I'm like, yo, I got some shit. I got this shit called the Blood Chronicles. I think you could play me. Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't know he was a stone at this time, a gorilla. You feel me? He didn't tell me that. All he told me was, yo, you know, he asked me, did you know what I mean? I was like, yeah, that's my villain right there. Of course, I mean, Mr. Booker from Brownsville. That's my rag. And that was it. Exchanged his number. He knew I was villain, but he ain't say nothing. You know what I'm saying? So the time goes off. I'm calling him. I'm like, yo, I got this footage. You want it? He like, send me the footage. I'm telling him about the Blood Chronicles. And I'm telling him, yo, it'll be easy out here, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? When he signed the Rock Nation, all of a sudden he did this blood record. And I never knew he was, like, claiming blood. Like, so that's where the discrepancy came, that I didn't know. And I made a video prematurely, and it went viral. Mm. I shouldn't have did that.
Okay.
Like, I shouldn't have did that because I should have confronted him like a man. Mm. So I tried to apologize on Queen's Flip, but this dude did something crazy. You know what I'm saying? He gonna call Casanova on FaceTime while we backstage, and me and him going back and forth now. So instead of him trying to defuse it, he adding fuel to the flame by calling the man. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And me and him cursing each other out while we on FaceTime.
Did you feel like he had to do that, though, because that was his man and you was his man? I'm confused. Like how would you have handled that?
I wouldn't have did that. He didn't have to do that. Like, first of all, that wasn't his man like that, because he ain't give him no, he ain't recognizing him. He ain't putting him on no features. He ain't doing nothing with him. He ain't putting no money in his pocket. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? He was, as far as I'm concerned, he was dubbing him.
Man, I think that Flatbush took precedent over your relationship. You know, they was on some
Flatbush. I think Flatbush plus, you know, he was getting it back. That's why you see the clip when I was a guy. I was like, he trying to air shit out, but he just trying to fuck with the nigga because he got the fucking bag. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I told him right there. I was like, you fucking with the nigga because he got the bag, you gonna cross me? And he ain't giving you shit. You know what I'm saying? So that's what that was about.
Got you. So did you and Cass ever get a chance to iron it out or speak?
Nah, never. So that last time I spoke to Casanova was on FaceTime. And we was cursing each other out. You know what I'm saying? And then shortly after that, I think maybe a year past it, he caught the Rico.
So he knew who you was from the diss videos.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, you know, he called the inside, the wall. You know, that shit went to the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Inside. So everybody know who's who.
Mm-hmm.
So it came back, you know what I'm saying? I was who I was, and that was it. You know, it was no recourse behind that. You know what I'm saying?
Got you. What is it like to tell your truths? Because what you deem to be your truth, so there's always going to be somebody who opposes your truth. Has you found it to been very, very, I don't want to say hazardous, but very, very tumultuous when you tell your truth? Because then you got people who want to come and say, Stackstone is a liar. How has that been for you?
Nah, doggy, not with me.
Okay.
Everything I say is the truth. If you could tell, because like nobody's able to combat anything I said I did. I got a new charge in Elmira, bro. That's documented.
Mm.
I did 4 years in solitary. That's documented. 2 years in Southport and 2 years in upstate. That's all documented.
Mm.
If you look at my rap sheet, my arrest record, I could pull it on here now and could show you when I caught the new charge. Chemung County, Elmira. So that work is documented. Everybody that landed with me in any max prison I was in, it's no dirt on my name nowhere. I'm pristine, bro.
Mm.
Nothing. No blemishes, nothing gay, no rats, no nothing. Stand up all the way through.
What is that like? Because when I scroll through the internet, I see so many accusations and charges against people. And it's like, how could you? All right, let me ask you something. Can you call somebody a rat without paperwork? How does that work?
Nah, you can't. Not. I wasn't raised like that. For my OGs, they taught me. Like, right, I seen a lot of tricks in prison, right? Rest in peace to Jones, Farmer, right? This OG named Farmer, he did a lot of time. He died while he was in prison, but he showed me a lot when we was in the box. He used to tell me, stack this, stack that. He told me what a lot of people do. A lot of people could create fake paperwork on you.
How they do that?
The law library, they get like these documents, they copy a whole bunch of finagling and then make it look like it's authentic. But if you know work, if you know paperwork, you know. And they can't push no fake paperwork out there, right? So in prison, whether it's the feds or the state, those guys know paperwork, man. And there's no deviation from it. Like you can't say somebody's a rat without the paperwork. You just can't do it. Now, can somebody be an informant and there's no trace of paperwork? Probably.
Got you.
But normally they're not going to be in prison with you.
So CI and rat is two different. It's the same thing, but it's a different
thing. Same thing, but got two you. Different jobs. Like a CI, you might as well say he's not a rat. He's a paid informant.
Got you. A rat with a job.
A rat with a job.
Got you.
A paid informant. Now, are they ratting? It varies because you have people that don't really want to be law enforcement, but just want to be covert with the shit and be secret agent provocateurs and just get numbers and get shit on people and give it to the police. You know, they out there like that.
So, how old are you if you want to tell the people?
I'm 54.
54. And for the record, I would, you know, some people just came in and they hear the lingo. They might be thinking that you're still talking about gangbanging like you're an active dude out in the street. You let it be known that you no longer gangbang. You gang affiliated. So, all right, when I hear some of the brothers and I see some of them names in front of them, it says former blood. Is there such thing as a former blood or are you blood forever? Like, I'm confused. How does that
work? I mean, it's subjective.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? If you want to feel yourself, you're a blood forever. Hey, like me personally, I don't feel that way, but half of me feels that way because of the sacrifices I made. Mm-hmm. How could I turn away completely for something I sacrificed for?
Mm-hmm.
So can I? Yeah, I can. But can I, like, educate people?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I can educate you on the pitfalls of this shit. I won't advise you to do this.
Got you.
Now, how I feel about it, I couldn't change it, and I'm not regretful of it. You know mm-hmm. why? Because I stood up for a purpose, man.
What was the purpose? What was the initial purpose?
Oppression. Yo, when I went to C95, black people were being oppressed by Latin Kings and the Ethos, bro. That's just where I was at. I came into 16 Upper, and they was telling you, you can't get on the phone, do not touch the TV, and we're going to take your cereal in the morning. We're going to take your Frosties.
Mm.
So we're going to take the whole box. So every prisoner is allowed 2 boxes of Frosties if you get that on the morning. So imagine somebody taking the whole box.
Mm.
And you like, yo, aren't we supposed to have Frosties? They like, nah, you rock out with the 2 milks and that jelly sandwich with the hard bread. That's your breakfast. You're not going to get this Frosties right here.
Mm.
So when I seen that, now, you're not going to oppress me, but they got some... It was a lot of derelicts in C95, like derelict black people.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
they ain't going to stand up.
Mm-hmm.
But if you got a few thorough dudes that come in. So I'm considered a thorough dude. So I'm going to come into the house. I see these bums. They ain't fighting for their food.
Mm-hmm.
And they black. I got to stand up.
Mm-hmm. So with something...
They ain't going
to take mine. So your set that came to you, was that West Coast set that came to the East, or was it strictly something that was found in the East in jail? I'm confused. Because I know the Stones is I know about the Black P Stones. Is it affiliated?
Nah, we're not affiliated with Black P Stones. We Bloodstone Villains, man. The New York set.
Okay.
We started in 96. That's it. We didn't have no affiliation with the West. But later on, we started kicking it with them because we wanted to know the history of villains. You know what I'm saying?
Got you.
So we started, like, really, you know, opening up dialogue with them and, having an understanding about, you know, what it is to be claiming that or whatever.
Got you.
You know, blood or villain, whatever. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
So, y'all was getting, y'all was eating them hard-ass jelly sandwiches. What set it off? What was the day that y'all was like, yo, you know what? Fuck this.
Yo, all right. So, me personally, I was in 16 up or C95. And I was just getting locked up. And I had... So... That time, I was fucking with AZ the rapper, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was going. He was just signed. He was doing shows. I was experiencing that shit with him. I was on work release. I did a robbery on work release and caught a new charge. So when I came, they put me in Rikers Island. I was basically trying to get bailed out really quick and go on the run.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't trying to stay.
He already had it mapped out. I'm jumping.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wasn't going to try to stay in Rikers Island and lock a house down. So when you come in there one day, the next day you got to go to court. So when I found out I wasn't going nowhere, that my parole dropped the hole, I had no bail, then I morphed into jail mode. Like,
mm-hmm.
I was mad now. I came back mad, ready to take the phone, bust somebody in the head. I just came back mad aggressive. Like, it's on now. My mind shifted to doing a bit. So when I came back, I was mad at what I was seeing. And I was like, yo, something going to pop. So one dude came down to my house. He was from up north. He was coming down for a case. And he told me he was blood. Then another dude came to the other side. I knew this kid. His name was Mark Cross. And they called him Hellraiser at the time, from East New York.
Mm-hmm.
He came over. And then we was meeting in the middle. Like, they got two sides and shit. So you got this side, you got that side. But people could meet in the water. In the middle to get the water, the hot water, the 190 they call it, for coffee and all that. So we meet in the middle and start talking, like, three of us. And they's like, yo, fuck that, we gonna pop. And I'm like, fuck it, let's pop. And I just popped off. And then that was the biggest mistake of my life.
Why you say that?
I grew up. Cause gangbang was hard, bro. That shit was hard. Hard. Like, these dudes don't know what them early first generation bloods was doing, bro. I'm talking about, look, bro, you see all these stitches in my head?
Mm.
Stitches top and bottom, stitches on my head, dislocated shoulder, broken jaw. All that's from the police, bro.
Mm.
My spine is fucked up now because of that. I got a herniated disc because getting kicked down the stairs, cuffed backwards, bro. So that shit was hard. I was telling my girl the other day, I was like, yo, when I think back at that shit, them blood, they was crazy because, and I was just as crazy to be involved because when you was in your cell, they was telling you, yo, on the roll call, they'll tell you, when them gates open,
pop.
When we go to the yard, pop on the police.
Mm.
All right? So everybody popping, right? Now you fucked up. Your jaw fucked up. Your arm dislocated. And the next day, they tell you to do it again.
So what happens if they tell you, give you the command to pop and you don't pop?
It wasn't really none of that because everybody was popping. It was like, it wasn't really like they was telling you to pop. It was more like, fuck that, we popping.
Yeah.
It wasn't nobody saying, oh, I'm scared to come out. Like, I wasn't saying, fuck that, I'm not coming out. I was just being a soldier and be like, fuck it, if I die, I die. But we popping. Red light, green light, bang, bang, bang. So that's, it was indoctrinated in us like to be like kamikazes almost like. So, and then when it was all said and done, we ended up with box time, broken up, new charges, and the population spread it. So now the blood is ruling the prisons now.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're taking over. Now they are the oppressors. They oppressing everything.
So y'all started oppressing each other as well too, right?
Oppressing each other, oppressing everybody. Anything, it was ubiquitous. It was everywhere. That means it was uncontrollable.
So let me ask you something, bro. At what point when y'all leaving, when your set left the UBM, was you still in prison?
Yeah, I was the one right there. Me, Mandu, Cam, we was all in Elmira, right there.
So what happens right with there, so what happens with all the UBM brothers and how they feel about you when y'all not a part of them no more?
Yo, that was scary. To be honest with you, it's because there's only 31 of us.
Mm.
Right? So I'm like, yo, these niggas want to try to pop. So I'm like, I got bangers in my cell. I'm going to court, mind you. I'm going to court at Elmira, so I'm locked in.
Mm-hmm.
Man dude is right on top of me. Man dude like, stack, this is what we doing, blah, blah, blah. He telling it. So I'm like, it's only 31 of us. Like, so I'm ready to pop any one of them come my way. But it wasn't like that.
Mm.
It was like, the Brims left with us. They were like, fuck that. It was always stolen the Brim. We leaving. And that's what it was. You know what I'm saying? And it was the quickest I seen. It was the quickest I seen something spread in my life. Because you got to think, when we separated, it's like 4 or 5 nations started, bro.
Mm.
And it was like Mac Ballers, Villains. It was just everybody, fucking Hats, the Jets. It was everybody, bro. The Foreigns, it was.
The Foreigns? I never heard of that one. I heard it all the other ones, but.
Yeah.
So now, New York City is, bro, you got me by like a decade. So from the point where you grew up to now, did you ever foresee it being like this?
Nah, because I came from a Tomahawk era. When I used to see the Tomahawks, because Cato used to live in my building in 311 Osborne in Brownsville, right? So I seen the firsthand gang, but I didn't never think Bloods would be over here like that, because we thought it was just a West Coast thing. We never thought that would reach here.
Mm.
Word. Our depiction of what blood looked like was somebody in flannel jackets, Jerry Curls, and Lokes. So when I heard about blood, I was like, what? Bloods? I thought it was some motherfuckers that were like DJ Quick or some shit.
Yeah. And then you became one of them. Like, that's some shit. Yeah. So now, because you advocate, what were some of the things that you advocate for on the street? Because a lot of people don't know that you do community work and you got groups that you are part of. Tell the people about that.
Right. I advocate right now, I do prison reform. So one of the bills I was part of getting passed was eradicating solitary confinement in New York State prisons. So that's over now. So there's no more solitary in New York. One of the things I learned about advocacy is that It starts with petitions and the cause. Once I get a certain amount of petitions, I take those petitions and I take those signatures and I take them to the Capitol, to Albany, to legislators, and I lobby and I give testimonies and I testify to Congress and to the legislator and talk about how cruel and inhumane solitary confinement is, what the damages it could do, what type of people does it affect. It affects people of all walks of life. The black, the brown, the red, the Asian, the LGBTQ. I mean, everyone. So there would have been cases that people actually killed themselves. So I don't think it's fair to take someone and put them in solitary confinement for 24 hours or 23 and one, whatever you want to call it. Because how do you know they can manage that? How do you know they can manage that mentally of being isolated? Isolated like that. So I think of myself and what I went through in there. The many nights with anxiety I battled. The many nights I woke up at 3 a.m. begging God to let me get out the cell. But it was too hot. I felt like it was a buck 20 in there. And you couldn't get cool. I would stick my sheets in the toilet bowl. And it would be dry in like 3 minutes, bro. So you thinking you can't breathe. You having claustrophobia, like you just can't breathe. Like you like, yo, God, let me out the cell. Just let me walk around for 20 minutes. I'll come back, I promise. But no, he didn't let me out the cell. He kept me in there for 4 years. And that's why I had to connect it to my higher power. I had to connect to my third eye. I had to connect to meditation. I had to learn how to, you know, turn my body temperature down or slow my heart rate down to 5 beats a minute in the meditating. And I became so dynamic when I came out, I was infallible. You know what I'm saying? I was connected to a higher power. But now I try to teach people that a lot of the time we in our own mental prisons in our head. So I'm trying to free the brothers of that mental prison in their head of thinking you can't do something when you a king, you a god, you could do anything, bro. You could do anything you manifest in your mind. And that's what I try to preach.
So let me ask you something. So the dudes that are running around predicate cutters or cutting people and doing shit so they shouldn't go in solitary. What should happen to them?
That ain't my problem. That's up for the
Yeah.
Listen, now, has violence got worse? Yes, it has gotten worse. That's been a report.
Okay.
That's not my problem. It's up for security to handle that.
Got you.
You know what I'm saying? That's on them.
So you're saying they should have stopped it before it happened opposed to letting it happen or having it happen and then they do something about it after that, then the punishment. They should stop it before it happens.
This is how I feel about prison. Look, if you go to prison, right, I feel that you're going to learn some shit. You're going to learn one way or the other.
Good, bad, or different.
You're going to learn how to be a man, right? Or you're going to learn something, right? And whether you did it or not, that's not the issue. The issue is you there, right? And when you there, that's a different government. It's going to teach you a lot of skills. You're going to have some interpersonal skills. You're going to learn how to be sociable. You're going to learn how to live with people. You're going to have to learn how to live on a gallery with Dominicans yelling, Spanish playing loud music, blood niggas over here roll calling and yelling all night, and just crazy chaos around you, bro. If you go to Auburn and you go to one of those galleries in D Block, it's pandemonium, bro. Chaos. You're going to hear all types of shit, bro. And you're going to feel like you in the belly of the beast for real. You're going to have so many emotions going through you, and you're going to have to adapt. I learned how to adapt. So once I stepped in that cell and I put my curtain up, I didn't hear nothing outside of that because I adapted to that.
So it became the chaos became normal. Like you almost didn't hear nothing.
Right. It's a norm. But could you imagine somebody had never been in prison and been put in that situation, culture shock, bro. Culture shock. And, yo, it don't matter who you are. You know what I'm saying? You could be put, anybody could be put in that situation. I seen some of the toughest godfathers or mafia members have no power in jail, bro. Absolutely none. Like, been reduced to peons. And he was a godfather in the street. So in jail, It's the test of the boys.
So right now we got some of the young brothers out there in the street who banging ain't no big deal to them. They catching I don't even want to say football. They catching blood pressure numbers right now. You know what I'm saying? The football numbers is too low. They catching NBA score numbers. Back in your time and then even my time, 25 to life was rare. You know what I'm saying? So you had to really body something to get that quarter to the L. Most people's getting 3 to 6s, 5 to 15s, and coming home still youthful. They roofing these little dudes. If you could, if it was one little dude right now who don't give a fuck because he's raised like that, his environment, yours, my upbringing. If you could tell him right now what that prison life is gonna be like, whether you in the gang, because it's a lot of them think they in the gang, they gonna be good. Sometimes you go in there in the gang, be like, fuck you. You know what I'm saying? Now you are outsider. Could you tell them what this shit is really, truly like? Because we hear the stories of, oh, you might get fucked. Tell them what it's really like. Tell them what that first 24 hours was like for you upstate. Well, give me two. Give me the Rikers Island, then give me that upstate.
Well, Rikers Island wasn't really, eye-opening or impactful as upstate.
Was you an adolescent when you went to Rikers Island the first time?
No. See, I was an adult.
So tell them, but tell them there's a difference, though, that is the difference between the adolescents in Rikers Island and the adults, though.
Yeah, there is a difference. Most of the adolescents are wilder than the adults, to be honest with you. Don't know why them little boys, they don't care. They always been off the chart. But I did my DFY bit in Jersey, so I was locked up in a place called Jamesburg. But there is a difference. But when you, I tell you young brothers this, man. When you in that cell, I'm going to give you two cells that you could possibly be in if you are in the streets. You don't want to go to Attica cells, and you don't want to go to Auburn or Clinton or stuff like that because it's cold, bro. And it's cold, it's dark, it's gloomy. And it's like, it's dangerous. It's dangers lurking everywhere. So the environment is not conducive to anything healthy. So when you're in that cell at night, it's going to be like, well, Auburn don't have no heat in the winter.
Mm.
In D block, all the windows are broken out. The pigeons are shitting on the fucking the steam pipes up there. And you're going to be sleeping with 80 million blankets, sweatsuits, hoodies. And it's just a cold, dark, gloomy place, man. And it feels like, I don't know if anybody can relate to it, but it feels like a darkness that you wouldn't believe. Mm. Like, you ever felt numb? Like, damn, will I ever get out of this feeling? That's what it feel like.
Almost suspended like in time. Suspended in time.
Like Rip Van Winkle type of shit.
Mm.
And then when you away like that, you feel literally dead to the world. It's like you really don't exist. So you plead out for communication with the outside world, but you living in a different government system right now.
Mm.
In prison is a different government. So prison dictates the government to the street for the hood.
I keep telling people that everything you see in the street, somebody somewhere told them, and it ain't the street dudes.
But prison is going to dictate what goes on. You know, the shot callers, they in prison.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Some people want to be shot callers. Some people have a desire to become a shot caller and live the rest of their lives in prison. They don't even think about having sex.
Mm.
It's weird, you know what I'm saying? But some people think along those lines. And we got to realize as individuals that everybody don't want the same type of lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
You got to remember, you got a lot of Satan agents down here on earth. They don't give a fuck. They want to live their life how they want to live it. They don't want to be righteous and all that. Everybody don't want that. You know what I'm saying? So basically, it's getting where you fit in right now.
So for the little dude right now that's saying, yo, Stack, I don't give a fuck. I'm a crash. I don't care. What? Talk to them.
Little young man, listen, I tell you this, man. You can reach out to me. You can go to my Instagram and you can get in my DM if you need some direction. This is what I'll tell you, man. I would try to advise you. I would ask you two things. I would ask you, do you know your passion in life? And I'm going to ask you, little homie, do you know your purpose? And we can start this. We can start simple. And we can just have dialogue about what's your passion or your purpose in life. If you don't know your passion or your purpose in life, we can help you figure it out. Because if you think that your purpose in life is to latch on to your homies, smoke Zaza all day, listen to the drill music, and kill people, that's different. When I was growing up, when we was younger, we was thinking about girls, man.
Facts.
You young dudes don't think about girls no more. You're thinking about being with the homies, and that's abnormal. You made it normal now. So change your videos up. Put some girls in your videos. Go to the club. Tap into the dancing part y'all was doing. You know, when y'all doing that dancing thing, that's cool, man. Dance your heart out. But put away the guns, little homie, because guess what? If you're willing to take a life, and you're going to take your life at the same time, because you're not going to be the homie in New York. There's too many cameras.
Fact.
I'm telling y'all, cameras are everywhere. Put the guns away. Put up your feet. I can have boxing events where y'all can just go one-on-one and just knock each other out and then hug. I mean, everything doesn't have to be taking a life. You don't have to take a life for every disagreement you guys have.
Could you let them know, too, that growing up, some of the people we had the biggest beef with in the hood and fought the most, we best of friends right now. Like, we cool. Like, it didn't last forever. It was some youthful shit. Blood might have got shed. One of us might have got jumped. We jumped them. Might have shot at them. They shot at us. Somebody might even got hit every now and again. Nothing too crazy. I can't talk about too much. But I'm just saying, as adults, even right after that, we was like, yo, shit is dumb. Shit is dumb.
Yeah, you should grow, man. Some examples of that now is the beef that Jay-Z had that he pushed to the side. You know what I'm saying? The beef that Fat Joe had that he pushed to the side.
Mm-hmm.
The beef that 50 Cent had that he pushed to the side.
Well, 50 ain't pushed nothing. 50 ain't pushed nothing to the side. He's still. I ain't giving him that.
Hold up. 50 did push one.
Which one?
Hold on.
50 ain't pushed nothing to the side. Hold He's petty. He's petty Murphy.
Huh? He didn't actually put the game to the side, but they did talk.
Yeah, he maybe you're right, but he's very petty Murphy. Very petty. Yeah, he petty. He just go on forever. He'll still throw shots at Ja Rule like 15 years later. Like, what is
it? He put him and Fat Joe beef aside. They cool.
Yeah. Nah, I get it.
But my point is that, you know what I'm saying, when you get older, some things change, man. Your perspective change. You realize a lot of things are petty, man. So what you gonna do? You gonna be beefing with somebody about the same beef for 20 years?
So you have a YouTube channel. Your YouTube channel is Stackstone. It'll be in the description box, and people should subscribe to your channel. What are some of the things they're gonna see on your platform?
Yeah, you're gonna see a lot of things I do. I do the advocacy. I'm going up to Albany for that. I'm trying to go statewide. I'm trying to free the brothers down south. So if y'all wanna help me out, what y'all can do is y'all can follow me, and y'all can subscribe to my channel, and y'all can help me out with these petitions for down south, for states like North Carolina, South Carolina, Alabama, Florida. I'm trying to free those brothers in the box because they've been reaching out to me to sign a petition to get down into those Commonwealth states, those down south states where they still practice slavery. Let's just keep it 100.
13th Amendment.
They still practice. Yeah, the 14th Amendment, right? Or 13th.
I think it's 13th. You might be right. It's one of the two. Yeah, let me.
Right. But y'all can look it up. It's one of the 13 and 14 where you have the right to, if you imprison somebody, you have the right to enslave them. You understand? So I'm doing prison reform. Y'all can follow me. And I'm trying to get down there to those, like I said, Commonwealth states to sign petitions to lobby to legislate it in those Capitol buildings to get those brothers free out themselves. I know they hot, and I know they're experiencing like mental health trauma in there. So that's what I'm doing. I'm also doing music and film. Y'all can follow me on Instagram at OG Stackstone. You know what I'm saying? And just follow me, DM me. If you want to link up with some music, we can exchange beats. I got artists I'm dealing with now. And that's it.
Let me ask you something, though. Well, we also have to let them know, when we said Commonwealth states, the audience might not know that depending on the state, the time is different. So in this state, for a robbery, and you go to trial, you might get a 3 to 6. In another state, you could get 45 years. Yo, shit is not the same.
Let me tell you about those Commonwealth states, man. Those Commonwealth states are, they're geared to put their foot on your neck and then keep it there. They will charge you for court fees when you don't have no money. You're fighting for your life, and they're charging you to see a judge. You know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. Commonwealth states are states that they don't really have any services for people of color that look like you and I. So they really piggyback off the broke, the common person.
A lot of the founding father states is Commonwealth states. Where the founding fathers is from, Pennsylvania, Virginia. Yep.
Right.
And the funny thing about it is that a lot of times you got to pay restitution. You ain't got no money.
Right. That part.
You got to pay restitution.
They got surcharges in New York too, but restitution out in down south is astronomical, bro. They give you $30,000 restitution, and so that means you can't get no money in your commissary, bro.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? You gotta finagle and get packages outside of that, or send money in other people's names and stuff like that. You gotta hustle in them Commonwealth states if they give you a surcharge.
Before we go, what is one of the biggest misconceptions that people have about you that you would like to clear up today?
That I'm a snake. Yeah, that's what I heard. Stack is a snake. I mean, I don't do snaky stuff, bro. No snake, nothing in my blood that says snake, man. I'm a stand-up dude, man. Like, and I'm loyal, man. I'm loyal to a fault. So that's why I don't have a lot of friends, because a lot of people not worthy of that loyalness. You know what I'm saying?
The music, you dealing with the music, you want to deal with the music. How do you feel like the music has been weaponized with the gang's involvement? Because remember, when doing music was the way to stay out of the street. Now the music is geared towards going in the street doing dumb shit so you can have music content.
Yeah, that's perfectly designed. That's systemic. It's systemic. It's purposely designed like that. So why you see such an influx in successful trap artists but not really successful? Because it sells. Because if they put their cases and they put all that stuff into their music, I mean, it's attractive to people, it sells, and it's also attractive to police. So, I mean, it's good for them because guess what? They're going to insure themselves. They're going to keep getting money off you. They're going to keep promoting you. They're going to keep people going to prison. So they got these privatized prisons where people could benefit off the music in two prongs, because they're going to send them to jail.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're going to make money off them when they go to jail because the prisons are privatized.
Mm. All right. So give them your YouTube one more again. It's Stackstone, right?
OG Stackstone on YouTube. It's in the description. Y'all can follow me on you'll follow me on Instagram at OG Stackstone. And you know, just get my DM and we can just take it from there. But link and subscribe to my YouTube channel. They're gonna have a lot of content in it. And I'm just gonna be hitting y'all with videos once a week. I'm also probably gonna be doing a weekly segment with Doggy Diamonds.
Yes, we working,
you know,
on something
coming in the near future. And Doggy probably tell y'all about that.
Yeah, so you know, what we trying to do, it's like I do with others, is just try to steer the youth from, you want to grow old, you want to be free, you want to live, need to listen to people who've been there. And the percentage of people who get to grow old and get gray in their beard and all that is not very high.
Right.
Because you be in prison.
I'm glad I got my gray.
Yeah, you earned it. You know what I'm saying? You'll either be in prison or you'll be dead
in a coffin.
And both ways is, one is a living dead, because a lot of times you go to prison, your girl that you had is gone. Your family could
pass away.
Your family could pass away. You're not going to every funeral, you know what I'm saying? You might only get to go to certain funerals that was a close sibling, but your aunt that you grew up with and you love, you can't go. Grandpa's can't go. A lot of things, you know, it's not as cut and dry as some people people think it is. It's very, very harsh, and ain't nothing good going to come from it, you know. So, Stack, man, I thank you for joining me. I'm going to make sure
Good luck and Doggy, man. I appreciate you, bro.
Yeah, we finally got it done, right? Because we was going back and forth for like 2 weeks. But I'm going to make sure that your Your YouTube is the first pinned comment. So as they go to the comments and leave the comments, the first pinned comment will be your Instagram and your YouTube.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that, dog.
Yep. All right. And also, go to his YouTube and look at, check out some of the videos that he got. And if you want to see some of the, if you think he should do a type of video, or if you got some information that you want, dealing with the penile system, or even about the street life that he's no longer a part of, question him. If you're a young man and you need guidance and you just want to talk to somebody because you're a little confused, reach out. You know what I'm saying? There's all this information to be there. So, Stack, I'm going to sign you out. I'll hit you up later on.
All right. Good looking, doggy. Once.
Yep. All right, y'all. So, that was Stack Stone, who I've known for a while now. And it was just time for us to just get on the platform and just really, you know, just talk about different things. You know, we're not promoting anything. We're not advocating for anything. We're advocating for men to be men, grow up, for the youth to get out of the street and do stuff. Sometimes, you know, you get caught up in life. Shit happens, but there's a way. You know what I'm saying? There's a way to get out. And, you know, I'm Doggy Diamonds. This is Doggy Diamonds TV. You know what I'm saying? I do this promotion thing also. Shout out to everybody who the promo has been successful for them and definitely helped them. I get a lot of testimonials how people say it helped them. And if you need promotion for only $100, I promote whatever you need on my social medias and my website. That's my Twitter, Facebook, Insta Stories, YouTube community, and my website, which you will be featured on, www.doggydiamondstv.com. Hit me up on Instagram at Doggy Diamonds for your promo. Serious inquiries only. Must be Cash App ready. Also, I want to say before I go, the views and expressions that was done in this interview is strictly by Stack Stone. I don't know some of the situations that he spoke about. I can't say they true or false. I don't know. It's just how he feel. That's his testimony from his point of view. So I don't want nobody hitting me up talking about this ain't true, that's true, I want to go in on him. None of that shit. You have any issues and problems with anything that he said, you got that man information. Do not make me the scapegoat. Because I see a lot of people like doing that shit. You interviewed him and he said this with the... We ain't doing none of that shit, okay? We not doing that. So if anything you feel that he said was in error, then you go on your platform and you speak on it. You know what I'm saying? I'm not here for all that. You know what I'm saying? So with that, until next time.